In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first gospel reading that we heard about Christ's calling of the apostles by the Sea of Galilee, and we heard him say that henceforth they would catch men. The way we're more used to hearing that phrase is from the Gospel of Matthew, which Matthew, being the first gospel, gets the pride of place. We tend to go to it first just because it is the first. But in the Gospel of Matthew, it records Christ as saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." But the question is, what did Christ mean here? How would he make them fishers of men, and what did Christ mean to accomplish by them catching men? We find the answer to this when we look at the end of the Gospels, when we look at Christ's commissioning of his apostles before he ascended into heaven. In the Gospel of Matthew, we find the most commonly quoted account of the Great Commission, and we read this Gospel once every 11 Sundays and at Matins, but we also read it every time we have a baptism. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." First, what Christ says is he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." In the Gospel of Luke, we find a similar allusion to power, but it's talking about how that power was given to the apostles, or would be. In that Gospel it says, "And behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And in the first chapter of Acts, same author but a different book, he says something very similar. Christ says to his apostles, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So the point here is that Christ, by the fact that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, was given all power, both in heaven and earth. He had the power to do whatever he needed to do, and he passed that power on to his apostles for them to accomplish the mission that he gave them. And then we're told that he said that the apostles were to teach all nations. And what this means is that there is no limitation on who can come into the church. There's no particular nation that has any first place in the church. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither Russian nor Romanian, neither Serbian, nor any other nationality that could say, "This is my church, not your church." The church belongs to everyone, and we're to bring all nations into it. And then Christ said that we're to baptize. And baptism is entrance into the church. Christ did not establish a school of thought. Christ established a church, and baptism is the means by which we are given the grace to enter into that church. It's the seal of the new covenant, just like circumcision was the seal of the old covenant. This is the circumcision not made by hands, we're told by St. Paul. And then Christ says that we're to teach, he says, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." We are to observe all things that Christ has commanded the apostles, but the mission he gave to them was to teach. And one of those commandments was for the apostles to teach all nations to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and that's a commandment that's given to us. But we have to come to understand what it is that Christ commanded, and we have to do it before we're able to teach it. But how do we know what Christ taught his apostles? We weren't there. We didn't spend 3 years with him in the mountains and the valleys of around the Sea of Galilee listening to him preach. But we do have the Gospels. The Gospels themselves record quite a bit of what Christ had to say, but it doesn't record everything that he had to say. The ending of the Gospel of John makes that very clear. But we also have the writings of the apostles and the rest of the New Testament. And then we have the tradition of the church. But we also have the entirety of the Scripture, including the Old Testament. In the gospel reading that we read last night at Matins, we read about the two men that walked with Christ on the way to Emmaus. And then after Christ had asked them what it was that they were talking about, and they said that they were talking about what had happened with Christ and that they thought that he was the Messiah and they didn't know what to make of it, Christ told them they were foolish to have not understood the scriptures. And then we're told that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then later, after the two men who walked with Christ, when they broke bread and Christ disappeared and they realized who it was that they had met with them, we're told that they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" So Christ not only taught them the scriptures, but he gave them the grace and the insight to understand the scriptures. And then when he met with all the apostles, we're told, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Now, the gospel writers didn't record everything that he said as he expounded the scriptures, but he records that that's what he did. And that tradition of understanding the scriptures has been passed down to us to this day. So it's the entirety of scripture that we have available to us. And how do we understand the Old Testament? The key to it is Christ, because Christ is the focus of the entirety of scripture, both old and new. And if you understand how Christ relates to the Old Testament, you understand what the Old Testament is all about. And also, Christ talked about in the Gospel of Luke about how we had the commission to preach repentance and the remission of sins. It says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." The power, both to the disciples, to be disciples, and to make them, is given to us. We as the church are called to teach all nations, to baptize, and to teach all to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us. But for us to do this, we have to begin with ourselves. We have to first be taught, we have to be baptized, and we not only have to be baptized, but we have to live out the meaning of our baptism, which is to die to ourselves and to be raised to newness of life. And we have to observe all the things that Christ has commanded us, and we can only do that by first coming to know what those things are and then to do them indeed. And we have to live a life of repentance with the firm faith that with repentance comes a remission of sins. And if we do that, Christ tells us that we will be endued with power from the one to whom all power in heaven and earth has been given. Amen.